Thank you, Lee, and good morning to everybody. I'm Nigel Dobson, and I look after the bank's end-to-end global payments capability as part of ANZ's banking services portfolio. Payments are the lifeblood of any bank, and Lisa and Lee have covered the all-important transaction capture elements of the payment life cycle and the business benefits of executing well. Where my banking services team comes in is to support the business by linking transaction capture seamlessly with transaction fulfillment and its form. It's this perspective that I'll be talking to you about today. 5 years ago, we brought together a team of engineers, payment specialists, operations and banking experts to create a single team responsible for payments processing, including technology build, run, change, and operations. This organizational change enabled us to create a set of enterprise payments platforms that not only support Lisa and Lee's business, they also support the payment services requirements of the wider enterprise. The development of our payments platforms has followed two guiding principles. One, build for reuse and scale, and two, self-engineer and operate. These two principles have allowed us to create a highly efficient and flexible payments ecosystem for the bank, allowing ANZ to move away from a legacy environment which was slow to change and very difficult to maintain. This approach has also allowed us to create capacity to innovate in areas where our customers are looking to leverage our expertise, and more on this in a moment. As I mentioned, our strategic payments platforms are enterprise assets supporting retail, commercial, and institutional businesses in 29 markets, covering over 121 payment types and accessing 28 different distribution channels. These platforms service more than 8 million customers 24/7, 365 days a year. Each year we secure and facilitate the movement of over 7 billion payments for our customers, which total $164 trillion in value. And our ability to create scale within ANZ and thereby offer services to other financial institutions has delivered strong ongoing return on investment in our payment systems, and we're benefiting from both increased operational efficiency and resilience. We made the strategic decision to build a number of our critical payments platforms in-house, in particular our payments services and payments data platforms, as well as the integration tools that Lee mentioned earlier. This decision recognised that as a domestic bank increasingly transacting around the region, we needed to be the best at holding, storing, and moving money for our clients. We aim to be highly responsive and flexible, and to be in control of the end-to-end value chain. Being heavily dependent on vendors wasn't going to deliver that for us, wasn't going to deliver what we needed. And our experience had taught us that when we were reliant on technology software vendors, changes were slow, and we're often one of many customers waiting in line, and we had very little control over the development roadmap and even less ability to on-sell our payment services intellectual property to other FIs. Now we have much greater control over the design and development process, making it easier to prioritise and implement changes as the environment and customer demands evolve, as well as maintaining strong alignment to any changes in the bank's strategy. Taking the build in-house or self-engineering approach has allowed us to assemble an expert team of engineers and developers. And we now retain the IP that goes into delivering our payments technology. Our payments engineering practice was rated in the top decile of engineering functions globally by Deloitte in 2021. And our banking and payments expertise informs the continuous improvement of our services as we innovate and work with our customers to meet their evolving needs. We've established a strong innovation credentials over time. And as Lisa mentioned, this is a key criteria for customer retention and acquisition. Our reputation for innovation leads customers to call us first when they want to know what might be driving greater efficiency or better outcomes in their business. In payments, the number one opportunity our customers are asking us about at the moment is digital assets and currencies. Customers are thinking about how digital currencies might change the way we hold, store, and move their money in the future. Digital assets and currencies are likely to be the next generation of our payment services, and we've built the flexibility through our engineering teams to engage in practical test and learn experiments with our customers. So in March last year, for example, we executed the first ever Australian dollar bank-issued stablecoin transaction using our ADDC digital currency for the Victor Smorgon Group, resulting in a $30 million real value payment. And just to link that back to PCM, this would be a new form factor of Australian dollars that would be a new payment type for Lisa's business in the future. Beyond PCM, we've been working with the environmentals team in Insto. And in April this year, we worked with Grollo Carbon Ventures to successfully tokenize Australian carbon credit units and trade them using our Australian dollar digital currency, with the settlement occurring in near real time. Now, we undertook this transaction as part of the RBA's Central Bank Digital Currency Pilot, where ANZ fully participated as a leading bank in four out of the 14 selected use cases. In a recent survey conducted by BNY Mellon, it was shown that 97% of institutional investors think that tokenization is set to revolutionize asset management in the future. And we see digital assets, tokenization, and decentralized networks as an emerging form of financial market infrastructure, something we know pretty well, with digital tokens simply replacing the form factor of money and assets in the future. So we think the main benefits are the potential for greater transaction efficiency and the mitigation of settlement-related counterparty risk. The process known as atomic settlement, where two assets exchange simultaneously and in real time, can eliminate delivery versus payment risk, which today is managed by centralized clearinghouses and largely exists because asset transactions occur on different market infrastructure to the payment leg of the transaction. And this is often why we have T+2 settlement life cycles. Our immediate customer opportunities are revolving around our nature-based assets, which is complementary to our sustainability strategy. And this includes tokenized carbon, biodiversity, and reef credits. And these are the emerging asset classes where we believe the existing market infrastructure is very immature and in need of modernization. But we're also active in collaborating more globally. For example, ANZ recently, in fact, just last week announced that we participated in a series of experiments, a cooperative experiments led by SWIFT and 11 other global banks and market infrastructure providers, in an effort to prove that the existing SWIFT infrastructure and network can be used to access decentralized networks which will host the digital asset markets of the future. And finally, our approach to innovation as a well-regulated institution has been firstly to build on our excellent engineering capability, and secondly, to closely collaborate with our risk and market management experts to ensure we remain consistently within our regulatory perimeter. We've also maintained an open dialogue with our regulators, and we share learnings periodically as we progress. So in summary, our approach to exploring digital assets and other innovations is consistent with our approach to modernising our payments systems and leading in that innovation space for our clients. We develop expertise in-house, work closely with regulators to learn and educate, and partner with customers to develop a range of commercially interesting digital asset solutions to solve the problems our customers will have in the future. Thank you very much, and Mark, back to you.